5. Toss to White. He's in! What a comeback!
All right, welcome back to another episode of the 28-3 podcast. Today, we have three prime topics to discuss. Luckily, we again happen to be recording on a day where some, I guess, somewhat major Saints news breaks.
Yeah.
Ryan Ramczyk, his knee, looking worse than we originally expected.
Yeah, that is the word coming out.
Yeah, so this is sort of the medical episode. You know, we're going to talk knee, degenerative knee, and also ACDFs. We'll let Nick weigh in with his medical knowledge on
it. Yeah, knock on wood that quote-unquote medical episodes are not a recurring theme.
Well, it's the Saints, and they will be.
So, hence the knock on wood. But, yeah, you know, it's funny. I feel like DA was kind of nondescript in his statements from the NFL coaches meeting about some things, and then he gets the Ramczyk, and he's like, yeah.
Spilled his guts.
Yeah, which is, I was surprised when I first heard that he said that, because I'm like, he usually doesn't get that detailed about injuries at all. Most coaches don't. But he was obviously pretty straightforward about Ramczyk's status.
My thing is, it was basically, you had a whole bunch of speculation out there. He might not play this year. And then you see the retirement stuff. I think we talked of, I thought the contract kind of lent itself to retirement being a possibility when we saw that restructure. But I don't see a scenario where he doesn't play the year and then he comes back. So there were certain things I had read out there. It says he might not play this year. If he doesn't play this year, there's something majorly wrong that's probably not going to get better.
Right. Right. I mean, if he sits a whole year out at this point, I mean, how much faith do you, if any, do you really have in him for the following year? You know, unless it's like everybody's all in on, okay, he's going to give it one more go, but he has to sit a whole year out in order to give it the one more go. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, looking at the cap numbers, there's no way he just retires right now.
It would be too much.
It's a $30 million cap.
I was about to say, because
which, you know, they could split it up over 2 years if you, I guess if you retired after June 1st.
Yeah.
But at the same point, I think what happens is he more than likely doesn't play this year, goes on IR.
But you mean that's, we don't, as a team, you don't want him to retire.
Right.
Right.
But he's not going to either, because he's going to want the possibility of the money coming in. You know what I mean? Like, he's not going to shut the door.
But the restructure was a straight pay cut, too.
A straight pay cut,
so
yeah,
it was a help to
for
the
this
team.
Year, not,
right, not
the
for
next
that,
year.
Right.
Yeah.
But that could have been like, hey, since we don't know what's going to happen this year, blah, blah, you know, who knows? Again, these are things we don't know. But I didn't see, did they say what the exact procedure was that he had?
I have not seen what the procedure is, no.
I was listening to, I think it was on ESPN New Orleans, Moscona was on, who can definitely annoy the crap out of me sometimes, but every now and then, but he also has some good stuff. They were talking to a guy, a doctor who had worked for the Saints. I didn't catch his name, but he called it like a clean out procedure is what he had. You probably might know better, Nick, what that is, but he said it's one of those things where over time, you know, you do the clean out because you can't avoid cartilage like coming off of where it's supposed to be.
Yeah, so it's probably
and there
meniscus,
being friction.
But it must be in really bad shape if a meniscus cleanup, you know, for healthy people with a good knee,
yeah,
that's not a long time out even these days. So presumably the knee's in really, really bad shape. It might, you know.
The way this particular doctor described it is that, you know, there's nothing he's going to be able to do to avoid playing while managing the pain from that knee. I mean, I know NFL players play in pain all the time, but they're like, at this point, there's nothing they can do to, like, get the knee back to square one. It's just like, it is what it is. He's just going to have to manage it.
I'm saying is if that procedure is causing him to miss a year, there's generally not a path for it to get better after.
Yeah,
that,
and that's
right?
Kind of what I gleaned from what I heard anyway. Again, this nameless doctor I heard on a radio station leaving work today. But, it didn't sound like any particular amount of time will necessarily improve things.
Yeah.
It's just more
It was interesting. They said everything was moving in the right direction, and then all of a sudden, in the last couple of weeks, until it wasn't right. So it's like, I don't know. But I think we discussed this in depth about the draft, that we might have to be prepared to, you know, completely revamp the line. You know, Pete, did he sign?
He's still floating out there.
If they're not calling him right now, I don't know what they're doing. You have to start planning as if he's not here.
Yeah.
And to be handcuffed in the draft, to forced to draft tackle, is never good. And we're basically forced to take a tackle there if he's out, just because the options are low on the market. And we are, what are we going in with? Trevor Penning?
Well, no, you're looking at Landon Young, who actually, he got some good snaps this year.
But what about the other spot? Because you're talking about both spots.
Yeah, I guess you're going with Penning. I don't think there's any scenario where we do not pick a tackle with either the first or the second round pick. You know, listening to DA today talking about they're in the market for another pass catcher, not necessarily a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that points directly to Brock Bowers. I don't know any other way to interpret that.
Yeah, I saw some people on Twitter saying, like, okay, DA, you don't have to basically tell everybody what we're doing.
Right. Well, look, Payton did that shit over the last couple
sometimes
years,
sometimes they want to throw that smoke out there. If we don't want Bowers, he might be throwing that out there.
Yeah. But the thing is, though, like, Payton would throw it out, and then they would just go draft the person they were talking about. So, yeah. I was getting at is I think that you're getting an offensive tackle with either 14 or 45, but I think with the depth at the position,
yeah,
I think they might actually be fine. And maybe they have to move up a little bit from 45. Like, maybe you jump up to, you know, 33, 34, 35.
Yeah, use a fifth rounder, which you have four of.
And I'm fine with them doing that. Just do not touch the 2025 first round pick. Please do not touch that. You can touch the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh. I don't care. Do not touch that first round pick in 2025.
Yeah, because
it could be Jalen Carter.
The 2025 pick is looking more valuable by the day.
Oh God, man! But look, you know, maybe
I hope it isn't. But
maybe they think the new blocking scheme, the new offensive line coach, the new offense in general. They look at it and they say Penning's a better fit for this.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they don't feel as bad about him as we do. Saldivari's the wild card, because look, Saldivari was the first pick of the fourth round, if I remember correctly. And he was the guy that, like, everybody was trying to jump up to get. You know, none of us had heard of him because he came from Old Dominion.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, none of us had seen him play. We have no idea if he's good or not. But by all accounts, he's supremely athletic.
Yeah.
Has played tackle and guard. So I think you see him get a real shot, whether it's in that left guard spot or maybe they try him out at tackle.
Yeah.
But I think Landon Young, realistically, is they're looking at him. He's been in the system, I think, three years at this point. So, look, he looked fine when he played.
Well, it's one of those things where, you know, are we saying he looked fine because he looked fine for a Saint? Like, he looked fine compared to the players we have? Or is he objectively fine as an NFL starter?
Well, I think I don't remember what game it was.
We kind of get tunnel vision with our own players sometimes.
But remember that, though. Remember all the injuries that occurred on the offensive line last year. And I don't remember what game it was. Nick probably remembers. But there was a game where we ended up having to start multiple backups.
Yep.
And we were all like, oh, man, this is doomsday.
Is that the Jacksonville game?
No, we won the game.
I want to say with the Giants, maybe.
Bears?
It doesn't matter. Yeah. It was one of these games that were multiple backups playing. I remember Cam Irving had logged significant
snaps. And he
played
incredible.
He played great. Landon Young had to play. He played great. You know, Max Garcia, I don't think he did as well as the other ones, but he was still serviceable. And I just remember thinking, this could be catastrophic the way it looks on paper. And then we got to the game, we're like, wow, they actually looked effective.
Yeah. And the new offense coming in, the new coaches, it presents one of those situations for the Saints and for us as jaded Saints fans who can slip into the pessimism real easily, where there's the thing that everyone outside of the organization is saying about the thing we're supposed to get, which is Clint Kubiak's offense, the style scheme that he's always been a part of, is one that makes middle-of-the-road offensive linemen not look like all pros, but look just good.
I mean, you could say that, but he's got some absolute studs at offensive line over there, right? Well,
but people were saying with San Fran, it's not like you could point at their offensive line. They have some good ones for sure.
I mean, they got the best one in the last the two best decades, one.
But
probably.
As a whole, you know, it's not a offensive line filled with all pros. So they're saying that it's a scheme that allows guys who might have a couple of deficiencies overcome that or at least hide it.
They need the athletic lineman. Which
so the question is, like, is are we going to get that? Because if we get that, then that looks good for the situation we're in.
So let's remember this, though. We also signed Ole Udo from the Vikings.
Yeah.
Who has actually started some games.
He started, heard him 17 games.
Yeah, I've heard him. I think it was Underhill comped him, and he was almost like the Vikings version of James Hurst.
He's the guy.
In that he can kind of fill in all over the place and can look solid in spurts. So, I mean, I don't want to say you can count on him to come in and be a starter, but at the same point, you should be able to play him. You know, I feel fine enough playing him as I do playing like Cam Irving or Max Garcia or Landon Young last year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
but kind of back to your point too, you know, I hit you up on the reply to Ross Jackson's tweet, which I thought was funny. At first I was like, oh, another mock draft screenshot simulator. But then I looked and every draft pick was a tackle.
Hey.
And I felt compelled to reply to say, hey, that's funny. That's literally the exact same thing that Max said he'd be okay with on our last episode. And so I'm fine with that in general, except for the pick at 14. Because I really do think that, like you said, there's a lot of depth in this year's tackle class. The top of the tackle class looks like, you know, perennial all pros. So if the top two guys, being Alton Fashion, you were there, then I think you got to go with one of them. Assuming they get picked before 14, I don't trust, you know, our track record of drafting. I don't trust that we're going to draft a tackle at 14 who's far and away better than whatever tackle we would have drafted at 45. So that being the case, I would much rather see us go for a Bowers if he's there, or the, you know, maybe even the top wide. I mean, Mike Tannenbaum on ESPN did a mock draft that's a GM.
That draft is awful.
Odunze was there.
That like, draft is, there's no way in hell that happens. I saw that, and he was getting roasted on Reddit for it. You know, people are like, how the fuck was this guy a GM?
Everybody gets roasted on Reddit.
Yeah, but he deservedly got, you didn't see this mock draft.
No, but I will say there is a possibility one of these. There's so many locks.
Marvin Harrison went 9 in this draft.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. But but could I see one player that we think no chance leaves the top 10 at 14? I do believe that's possible.
No, I agree with that.
It happens every year. So,
but I don't think those three receivers, there's no way in hell one of those three receivers makes it to 14. No way. Maybe one gets to 10. No way one of them makes it to 14. It's like Lattimore. The year Lattimore fell to us at 10, he was widely considered to be a top 3 player in the draft coming out that year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wasn't he 12th overall? I think Mahomes was 11.
Yeah,
it was the pick
I
after.
Mean, they're very well. I could see the world where 5 QBs go before us.
Yeah, and that's the dream.
And that's when one of these just out of nowhere drops. Just
that shouldn't
because,
drop.
Like, let's say someone's deciding between Bowers and Odunze, using his example. I don't think he makes it either. I'm just saying. Say they're both there, and then
Odunze is going first out of those two.
Well, then he goes, and then Bowers makes it, right? So,
but if you do the math,
Bowers is the one I could see being there.
If it's 5,
but someone could jump up for Bowers too.
You got 13 spots, so 13 teams ahead of us. So if you get 5 QBs go, doesn't matter where, and then you have say the top 2 tackles go.
5 QBs, 7. I still don't see that happening.
With 3 wideouts, that's
I don't either,
10.
But you can't say never.
And then,
can't say never, but I think 4 is the number.
There's 4 for sure now, I think. I don't think there's any debate on 4.
There's the betting odds for J.J. McCarthy going second.
Supposedly the Commanders love him.
Yeah.
All this is to say, at 14, you're going to be looking at, again, this is all if the top 2 tackles are gone.
Well, hold on, let's go
you're
through
looking
it.
At the let's third.
So, the 3 best QBs, tackle. Let's call it the 4 QBs. Could we think that J.J. McCarthy is pretty much locked in at this point.
I think he's locked in
So
now.
Let's say Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, in some order, go into top 14 picks. I think we can all agree on that.
So now you've got...
Hold on. So then we go Joe Alt, He's going, he's the first tackle. He's the guy that's the perennial all-pro look to him. Everybody else is competing for second.
Yeah.
So Alt's definitely going to go.
Now you got five players gone.
So that's five. So then you look at the wide receivers. Marvin Harrison absolutely is going top 10. Roma Dunze, Malik Nabers, absolutely. So that's three more.
So we got up to eight players.
We're at eight. Dallas Turner.
That's pick nine. Okay.
So to me.
So now there's.
To me, those are your nine that are absolutely going ahead of us. So now there's another tier.
There's four picks left before us.
There's four picks left before us. So there's another tier that could go in, you know, some order. That's where you need to pray that a Bo Nix get someone reaches for him.
Or Penix or to the Penix. Raiders or something.
But I've seen mock drafts. I think Jeremiah had one of, it was either one of two mock drafts. One had Bo Nix at like pick 12 and Penix was not in the first round. The other one had the opposite.
Yeah.
So that shows you how polarizing those two are. You just, you need one of them to go and preferably both. But other than that, man, that next level of offensive linemen, they're all kind of in a cluster. You know, Fuaga, J.C. Latham, those guys, you know, Fashanu.
Yeah.
Like, that's a separate tier than Alt. One of those guys is going to be there.
Oh, for sure. One of those.
One of those guys is absolutely going to be there. So you can get a top offensive lineman. Now, the thing is, now, what I was talking about a couple weeks ago, they were predominantly right tackles. Now it doesn't matter.
Now it doesn't matter.
Now it doesn't matter because now we're open to take whatever.
I threw out there that I was kind of okay with a right tackle because you need – A, you need a succession plan for Ramczyk anyway, which is what we said before the knee injury came out. And our offensive line is not good enough to say we're going to turn away talent.
With the impression that Ramczyk was going to play,
I understand the general premise that you don't want to draft a guy who specializes on one side of the line and then say, hey, welcome to the NFL. Now go play a different position. I get
that. It's the same specialty. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I know. It's what we've done, and it hasn't really worked out that well.
Looking at where you're talking about on Adunze, though, right? Yeah, you would think Atlanta's going to go Turner, right?
You can
almost guaranteed. Almost
I haven't guaranteed. Seen a mock in like a month that doesn't have Atlanta taking
it. It makes no sense. They the offense is loaded.
You have to.
The defense is old, and everyone's talking about how improved they were. Like, they still weren't good. They were okay. So you got to think they take him.
You absolutely think so, yeah.
Then you got the Bears who just got Keenan Allen, and they got Keenan Allen, DJ Moore. They're not drafting receiver, I don't think. A lot of people have them drafting receiver.
Because they think it's like
the... If you're the Bears, why are you not drafting offensive line? What are you doing? You got a rookie quarterback coming in. You got two stud receivers.
Agree.
Pro Bowlers. Then you got Jets. They go Bowers, let's say, right?
I think they go Bowers, yeah.
Okay, then you got Vikings, and in this mock I'm looking at, still has Drake May on the board. Because of all the people you talked about that could go higher.
Are you looking at the Tannenbaum one?
No. This is Bucky Brooks, just for fun. But
QBs are going 1 through 3.
He has McCarthy 3.
Okay, but more than likely, because the Giants are sniffing around a QB, and they're, what are they, 5 or 6? 6, right?
Giants are 6.
But
that would put a receiver back on the board.
There are easily five teams. I mean, they're
let's just put it this way. He's not there. Is Minnesota taking a receiver with JJ and Addison? Probably not.
No.
There's other needs, right?
Yeah.
So you're past them. Then you're to the Broncos, who did just trade Judy, but have a ton of defensive needs.
Minnesota's taking a QB. One way or the other, they're taking a QB.
Okay, so we're on to the Broncos.
Yeah.
We still got one of the receivers on the board by your math, too. So you got Broncos, Raiders.
No, because I don't agree with that mock at all. Because to me, 4, 5, 6 could very well be the wide receivers.
Okay, that's fine. Who's not going then? Okay, so that's what we're talking about.
Well, I gave you the 9. Was it 8 or 9 I gave you? 9. I gave you the 9 that I think are absolutely going ahead of us. No questions asked. I don't see any scenario where any of them are available.
So you're saying Fashanu's not going top 9?
I think Fashanu's there when we pick.
But you think Adunze is going in the top 9?
Yes.
And you think Drake May is going in the top 9?
Yes.
Okay.
So, I don't think any way Drake May makes it out of the top 10. No way, no. Adunze either. No way, no. We should sprint to the podium if either of them are available.
Oh, of course.
Or within 2 or 3 picks of us. Trade up and go.
Yeah, I mean, or just yell from wherever our guy is, you know.
Look, from 14 to 10, that's not that big of a jump. If Drake May's there, pay whatever to get there. Because that ain't that big of a jump. You can probably get there with a minimal compensation.
Would you pay that? Okay, but you wouldn't.
I'm saying going to 10.
That pick for next.
I'm not. I'd be fine.
It costs Kansas City next year's first. I'm pretty sure. for Pat to go there.
One first to go get Drake May?
Well, first plus your first. 14. Yeah, I'd be that's down two with first. That. That's not a first.
No, I know, but I'd be down with that.
I'd be pissed.
I would not. I'm not good with that.
I'm just not high enough on May. I know you are.
We're not good enough a team to do it like the Chiefs were. If I was the if I was the Chiefs coming off a playoff year where we looked good and you knew you were probably an elite quarterback away, because that roster was pretty solid with Alex Smith. I think they won 10 games. I could see it. I think we have too many holes to go
get. We do, but at the same point, it changes.
If they're there, I'm fine with everything. I don't. You know what? I'm not a big May fan like you are. If he's there when we're there, I'm totally okay with it. Because the league's all about quarterback. We talked about it way too many times. I wouldn't have a problem with it. I wouldn't love it because it's telling us this year's done before the season starts. But I'd be fine bringing him in and letting him watch for a year. But the people directly in front of us, I don't think, you know.
Because it's fine to say. I agree with you that those three wideouts should go should before be gone. Us. But you do still have to place them with somebody. You know, like,
but who's going
to
displace them?
I just think there's a lot
offensive
of other
linemen.
There's a lot of the teams.
Like you said, they are second tier. But the you're assuming, let's just say all four quarterbacks go before Minnesota, right? And they're choosing, what are they going to do? Are they going receiver?
You got to pray that they reach for QB.
Or a tackle.
Because how do they?
One of the three tackles.
If you're Minnesota.
I'm just saying, I'm making a case for one of the receivers. Right. Like Corey
That's
said.
What I'm saying. Like,
no, but Minnesota could very easily, they could go cornerback. They could go one of those guys. Yeah.
100%. So. And I say the same for Denver and Raiders because they're like us. They have holes everywhere. Are they going to go luxury item or are they going to go, I mean,
because put it
the
this
Raiders
way,
need offensive line.
It
desperately.
Seems like a stretch to say there will be five QBs drafted before us, but what's not a stretch is that there are certainly five teams in front of us that absolutely need a QB.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean they're going to take them.
It doesn't mean they're going to take five.
Don't look at Bo Nix and say, we can trade back into the first round, give up minimal capital, still get them on the five-year deal and have a much cheaper
I agree
contract.
With that. I'm in agreement. I think it's four quarterbacks.
It's within
I
the
agree
realm.
With that. I think Minnesota's a wild card. They could trade out of that spot and someone come get an Adunze. I could see that.
But Minnesota just smells like they went and got that second first-round pick. They're going to package it together. They're going up. They're going to go up and get a QB. Somewhere.
And the Cardinals GM has already told everybody we're open for business.
Right. Right.
So, it's going to be a wild first half of the first round.
We just really need QBs to go. Please for Bo Nix. Please for Michael Penix to get in the top.
That'd be great. But who are you in that scenario? Say one.
I want Brock to fall. We're all in agreement on this.
Mm-hmm. We know the Brock situation. It's going to be the Jets or not the Jets. If they don't take him, he's going to be there. I think.
I agree with that. Yeah.
So,
but to me, I think it's I think they're going to. It's a 60-70% chance they take him because they're looking at this year. Rodgers, they beefed up offensive linemen. They're going to go give us the weapon that can contribute immediately.
Once he clears the Jets hurdle, then it's what's Sean Payton going to do? Because you know Sean's going to love that. Possibility.
Now, Sean has never drafted a tight end in the first round because I wanted him to draft Greg Olsen way back in the day. He hasn't picked a tight end. There's been multiple times where I'm like, please
He's
pick a tight end.
He's got holes everywhere, too. I don't think there's any way. That team is in bad shape right now.
Yeah, but
it all depends on what they're going to do at quarterback.
It's also Sean. If he's got a vision, look at, you know, see Taysom Hill. Not that he drafted him high, but he had this vision for this player and was like, damn it, we're doing it no matter what. If he's obsessing over Bowers, who
he might be. You never know with Sean. Like, we know that.
That's
you
what I'm saying.
No
he's
idea.
A wild card. But, so I think that'll still be like a mental hurdle for me.
You really need to hope that they trade up and get a QB.
And eliminate, yeah.
Eliminate
themselves.
The goal is that the Broncos trade up to get a QB and the Vikings trade up to get a QB. And then you have the Commanders, the Bears, and then also the Patriots also taking a QB, that would put five. That's the dream.
Yeah.
You need that to happen. And then that point, there's going to be some really good players left. But I'm fully on board with give me Brock in the first and give me the best offensive lineman in the second.
Because
the flip side is give me, if Brock is gone,
give
me the best offensive lineman in the first and give me Keon Coleman in the second.
Yeah.
Give me the best player that's there. If one of these ones that we're talking about that we all believe there are 10,
yeah, but I think it's got to be offensive line at
I know,
this point.
But I'm just saying
we're in a corner.
I just don't want us to draft.
They'll be worth the 14th pick. Though,
are we not all in agreement? There are 10 players that separate themselves from everyone else. I think it's 10.
I think there's nine.
The nine that Max just.
So you're
out.
Not putting Bowers in there.
Oh, I am putting, I'm sorry, I am putting 10. Bowers in there, but I do think Bowers is the one with a chance to get out of top 10.
I agree, but yes, you would 10. Put him no, from right. a talent point. There's 10 guys that we all think are...
Yeah, yeah. No, no, you're right. There are, I do, yes, there are 10 players that there's are 10 shoulders
and above. And after that, we're kind of like, if one of those 10's there, I want us to go up to the podium and draft them. I don't care what position it is, but because I think they're all better.
Right, but the only
that's,
one...
That's why I agree with you, because... If we have this backed in a corner mentality about our offensive tackle situation, which is bad, which is not good.
No, we're saying the same thing. But, no, I just don't think there's any way any of the 10, other than Bowers, I think Bowers is the only one with a realistic chance of being there, and only because of the position. Yeah.
So
because
you
draft a tight end in the top 10, you're automatically paid. He's one of the highest paid tight ends in the league.
That's right. What I'm saying. Like the reactionary.
So teams don't do that.
The reactionary they takes do it for running
back. Of. Right. But look, like, it went horribly wrong with Kyle Pitts. Like Kyle Pitts hasn't done shit.
Yeah.
Who was the other one? Kellen Winslow didn't do shit.
Evan Engram. There's a ton of
no. Them. Evan Engram was a late first round pick.
So, but still, first round pick.
But
that's
Kellen
what,
Winslow, for me, Vernon Davis, all those guys. None of those guys hit the potential they were supposed to hit.
The snap reaction of Ramchek's in terrible shape. Therefore, we have to go tackle. We're gonna go tackle now at 14. I'm not there. Like 45.
No, you're missing my point.
Yes.
If the
I'm
if,
just adding
if
to it,
any of the 10 are there, you take them and say fuck offensive line.
Max, yeah. You need to go bet a 9-way parlay that all 9 of those guys are drafted in the top 10.
Find it for
you're
me.
That
I'll bet it.
You're that confident.
I am that confident in it. But no, I'm with you. If any of those, I think we're all in agreement here. Yeah. If any of those 10 quote unquote elite players are available at 14, you say, fuck need, give me this guy.
Yeah.
Whichever one's there. And if that's two of them are there, no, we're all on the same page with that.
Yeah.
I just think that the only one of those 10 who has a realistic chance of being there at 14. It's Bowers.
Yeah.
Now, if none of the 10 are there, give me the offensive line.
So, real quick, you're not counting Fashanu in the top 10?
No.
Okay.
I've seen him mock
anywhere
from...
He could go top 10 very easily.
He could, but he could also go 20.
Yeah.
He's in that tier where his range is anywhere from 11 to... Not even 11.
You know, and there's always a surprise guy in the top 10 every year. I feel like every year there's like someone comes up at pick 7 or 8, and it's like, whoa, no one had him...
I would be thrilled with Fashanu at 14.
And thankfully, the Jets and the Raiders are both ahead of us, so maybe they could pick somebody who's like 20 on everybody else's draft board. Like, what the hell was that?
I mean, the Jets aren't doing that. The Jets, they're locked in on they got to win with Rodgers this year.
They've actually drafted half decent past couple drafts.
Better than half decent, like
better than half decent.
Well, yeah,
they're fine.
Yeah. I mean,
Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner. I mean,
they're not
Brees
the laughing
Hall.
Stock.
They haven't drafted like our. Our old selves.
Their last two drafts, are younger. They have stocked up.
They're stocked up. They're
not,
fine. They're
not your mom
fine.
And dad's draft, Jets draft anymore.
No, it's not.
Before we wrap up this episode, we want to talk about the Chase Young situation that he confirmed.
Yeah, I mean, now that we know it's an ACDF, Nick, you want to, I guess you can just kind of clarify.
Yeah, I think the original reports of 3 months... I mean, that's crazy optimistic. You know, this is a great surgery, like we talked about last time. People do very well. And you saw, I'm sure many people saw that Hunter from the Vikings had this done in the offseason, I think, before last year. And he dominated and got a huge deal this year. This is not a very... I don't want to say any surgery is not risky, but this should fix the problem. The only thing is how soon will he be fully cleared to play defensive end, because he had surgery very late. That's my question of why.
Yeah, last week.
Why did he not, coming off the Super Bowl, this done?
They're saying 4 to 6 months. That job.
Okay, so that changed. So the original report was, you know, maybe in the training camp, and I think we had calculated that to just over 3 months. So they're saying 4 to 6. I think that's accurate.
That puts you right around September.
Okay, if you get 4. Right. So 6 months would be when? What game would six months?
No, 5 full months would put you in the beginning of September.
So he misses four to five games if it's 6 months. I think that's a safe bet. That's what I was going to say, because I think we said, I said, we're looking at like week 4 or 5. Like, very well, he could come out on IR to start the season for that little chunk, and he'd be right back after that. You know, because he can do a lot of conditioning and get in shape, but to like get into like football shape, he can't do a lot of that stuff until he's fully healed.
Yeah.
So he, you know, it would have been much nicer if he had this surgery a month ago when he could
have,
or plus. But I get it. He was a free agent. It's a different circumstance. You've got to worry about your contract first and just, you know, take out all risk. But it would if he'd have had it right after the Super Bowl, you know, there'd be I'd feel pretty good about him starting the season.
Yeah.
From you know, what is, what, 5 days ago he actually had it, something like that?
Yeah, last week.
From last week. It's possible, but I don't think you're going to see him out there, you know, aggressively early either.
Yeah.
They'll be pretty cautious with this and make sure he's fully healed and ready to go. The one thing I will say is if he was dealing with this all of last year, which is what they said, and he still had 7.5 sacks, this is going to be a noticeable difference if he's having this surgery in his strength.
Especially if he like feels that kind of boost, like, oh, I feel better. And it just kind of starts flying around.
It could end up being a really good signing if that's the case.
Yeah, it's just a shame, like you said, that he waited until the end of March to get this surgery. Because I think if, you know, the whole complexion of this signing changes if he gets that surgery right after their season ends.
It's kind of like,
you know, right after the Super Bowl, get the surgery and then be in training camp, get the reps in, hit the ground running.
And like we said on the episode where we talked about the signing, it's not a coincidence that he did it the day after he signed. You know, like if
he was waiting to get the contract.
The contract, we were very critical.
It's the nature of the free agency period timing.
But the contract was done correctly. So we were very critical of it, not knowing the structure. Now that we know the structure, the risk is minimal.
Great contract,
yeah, it was done the right way. It's basically predicated on him playing.
Yeah, the Saints really did a good job of like trickling out very important information day by day by day. Yeah. It's like day one, we signed him.
And you know, I love Dog and Loomis any chance I can.
Day two, he's in a neck brace on Joe Horn's cell phone Twitter. Day three, oh yeah, we did sign him to a smart contract. It's like, yeah.
It was. And, we said,
if we could have just got all that information on day one, that'd have been great. But
well, it's like we talked about last episode. If he was the first signing and they gave us all that information and then they followed up with Stanley Morgan and Cedric Wilson and Ole Udo,
totally
all of us
are
like, you know what? It's fine. That's a good haul.
Yeah.
And especially if he's had the surgery already.
It's fine. It was very careful free agency. I think we were actually expecting that, if we're being honest. The other thing that was confirmed that we talked about is that Gay is going to compete, right?
Yeah, for the weak side linebacker
spot. I still think, back to Corey's thing, I think we're going to run a lot more 4-3.
Yeah.
Yes, maybe they're competing in the two linebacker set a lot, but I think you're going to see a lot more 4-3 this year. I don't know why. I just...
Well, I know
why, because
you have three starting
you
caliber.
You saw us go to it at the end of the year, and you've got three good players, correct?
And you got coaches that can coach it.
Right.
You know.
So defensive line's weak still, we think. We'll see. We didn't do a whole lot other than Chase. So we'll see how that kind of, in the run game especially, that's not necessarily his forte. It makes sense to go with an extra linebacker there for maybe early downs only. He can cover a little bit. Pete can still cover a little bit. They're pretty versatile guys. We know what DeMario can do. So that was good to hear, and I think competition's the best thing you can have.
Yeah.
And get them both on the field. I think Warner's one of our best players, so I think he's going to be on the field, but I also think Gay's going to be on the field a lot.
It's like the keep it simple. Like, put your best players, as many of your best players on the field at the same time as possible.
Yeah.
That means running a 4-3 because you got a third starting caliber linebacker now, and your
third linebacker safety go
is better comparatively to your slot corner who you would have to put on the field if you had two linebacker set, then run three linebackers. Now, obviously, down and distance and all that stuff can change that, but if you're talking about what's your base defense, you know, I'd much rather go with that 4-3. Right.
With Magon, we would see him drop down in those extra safety sets. So maybe losing him, and they targeted Gay thinking like, okay, we can run some similar stuff just with a linebacker instead of a safety that's dropping down.
Yeah, sadly, Gay's faster than May.
I was about to say, there's plenty of times where May looked like a linebacker based on his speed and agility.
100%.
More than a safety.
Yeah,
so
I didn't
that's good
that
to hear.
I wasn't a big fan of May the whole time. I was just kind of like, you know, I don't know. He's going to be like last in tackles.
I understand why they signed May. I don't understand why you signed May for a couple $1 million less than Marcus Williams. When Marcus Williams, you had brought him up in the system.
Yeah, that was
terrible. You had taken all of the beating. He was a very young guy when we let him go. And then you give a guy who's coming off an Achilles injury.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense.
Made no sense.
It was like the...
No sense.
You know, line in the sand, digging their heels in. We're not coming off of our price. And it's like, well, okay. Well,
now you got a player that's half as good, in my opinion. Right.
Well, we don't have that player anymore, so that's good.
Yeah.
He hasn't signed with anybody either. It's so funny. A lot of these guys, like Pete hasn't signed. Michael Thomas hasn't signed.
I haven't gone through the available list of safeties, but there's got to be a lot of names
so many.
On there.
That's
so many of them. Yeah.
That's
the
problem for May. There's so many.
The market is for shit.
Isn't that funny, though? Like, you look at the Saints guys, everybody was freaking out about losing, and most of them are still sitting there available.
I I mean, the market for Mike Thomas is a minimum contract, I think. Look,
I haven't heard of him taking a visit yet.
I know we love him, you know, at doing what he did with us, but the truth is he's 4 years straight injured. That is not going to get any contract out in the open market.
No.
His best chance of getting paid any money was here. And we did that last year. One ran it back one more time, and then we washed our hands of it. And I know he's been going crazy little bit.
Yeah.
He's been slamming. But look, the guys, I hate to see him doing that because
it doesn't help his value.
It doesn't help his value. And look, it's unlucky. It's not, no one really, I don't think, did anything to hurt you. He did his own plan the whole time.
Well,
right?
No one did anything.
They wanted him to get surgery. He didn't get surgery. So, but now it's their fault.
The problem is all you hear about on Twitter and Facebook and anywhere else is the hospital ball that Derek Carr threw to him.
It's like, I don't agree with the hospital. I don't agree with the hospital.
Go watch that play. It wasn't bad at all.
Shit happens. It's fucking football.
When I read Michael Thomas's tweets, like you, there's some reading between the lines there. I mean, like you kind of read through the tone he's coming through with. But honestly, like the one he had today, you know, I don't think he was wrong. I mean, he's like, this sounds kind of familiar. Just insert a different player's name, and if you do that,
dude, just let it go. You know, go sign somewhere.
No,
and
I mean, I don't.
But you're talking about the injury thing.
You were talking about Ramchak when that came out, and he's talking about how, you know, he said DA should do his own research. You saw that part?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? He's like, well, you know, he listens to the trainers. It's like, yeah, he listens to the fucking trainers.
That's why they're hired.
That's what they're there for. Yeah.
I think it's 50-50, but MT has said some shit that seems pretty fucking valid.
Well, tell
and
us.
Then he's also
tell
said
us what
some,
you think.
What some other,
what, what's
just your opinion. What do you think makes a lot of sense from what he said in this whole thing?
The thing with Duncan, the whole thing about a loser mentality with DA. I agreed when he came out with that, when he said it's a loser. I think it was his reply to Adam. I mean, he could reply to anybody, just so happened to be Adam. But like his whole thing about, like, you know, other coaches don't handle things. I'm not going to remember it word for word, and I don't have time to pull it up right now, but other coaches don't handle it this way. Handling things like expecting lower results is loser mentality. I think he was spot on with that with DA from what we've seen so far.
But it's so funny. DA went out to California last year, and I'm not at all defending DA. I hate DA. But DA went out to California, visited with Michael Thomas for a couple of days.
Sounds like spilled milk to me, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and it's like,
sorry.
I don't disagree with the whole, if anyone was to argue that, like, if he's trying to do the best for himself, you know, or he's flailing, he's pissed off, he's acting like certain, yeah, it is how he's acting. But the words that he's been saying, a lot of them to me seem
My bad. Thing is, the point he's trying to make has nothing to do with him calling Dennis Allen a loser. The point, like, it has nothing to do with his situation, in my opinion. His situation is, he was left in a game too long. He got
like
an
Sean
injury
Payton.
That has just contributed to him consistently being injured for 4 years.
Yeah.
It's unlucky. It's not his fault either. I'm not blaming Mike Thomas. This is just unlucky stuff.
It's bad luck.
And
right.
He has to just accept that, like all of us, none of us wanted his career to go this way. He was he was on a path that was legendary, and we all loved it, right? And luck killed him while Sean Payton was still here. That's when it all ended. It doesn't have anything to do with Dennis Allen. This is all just like spinning venom because he's upset about where he's at right now.
Yeah.
And I get it because it sucks and it's not fair that he got injured that way. And every time he's tried to come back and worked his ass off, it didn't work out. But the truth is, he has been injured 4 years. This is a brutal business. You've made more money than you deserve the last 4 years if you're talking about production. And it's just time to accept that it didn't go your way.
Yeah,
like, you don't have to just
on.
Slam everyone on the way out the door.
Yeah, just move on at this point.
Talking about a hospital ball, quarterbacks throw that pass every game, every single team. Pat Mahomes throws that ball.
I agree with the idea that he does not have to be saying anything that he's saying. I think that the things that he is saying, though, are, you know, why would he just... I mean, is it just because he's mad that he's just spewing this?
Yes, that's what I think.
And do we think he's making it up?
What's his goal? What's his goal right now?
I think initially his first spewing of the offseason anyway was after the Jeff Duncan thing. And
I agree with what he said on Jeff Duncan, but that was unrelated to himself, in my opinion, as much as, like, that was just a statement of his feeling of Duncan. And
Yeah.
Nothing against Duggan. I think like he's right about his role in the Saints organization and how they work that thing.
I think what you have with MT, he's never been one to shy away from just speaking his mind. If he's, you know, thinking something, he says it. Generally, he's not talking all the time. When he was in his prime, he wasn't talking bullshit the whole time he was winning. Yeah. You know, but now that he's pissed off, he's saying shit. And it just, to me, I don't really, when I read it, I don't read someone who's just kind of baiting people.
He said negative stuff about Drew.
Yeah, about throwing the ball. Fuck himself,
I mean, come on. Like, what are you doing, dude? Like, yeah, this is way back.
Michael Thomas's biggest issue is when he's not playing, whether it's injury or whatnot,
he's miserable.
He can't fucking help himself but to just foam diarrhea at the mouth. But right. When he's playing, he keeps quiet and he's a killer.
Yeah.
The problem is he hasn't really played in 4 years, so all we have to do is like watch him on Twitter just basically and have a public meltdown every
fucking...
Here's the
thing. I don't disagree with any of that. The question is the content of what he's saying now that he is not playing and he is pissed off and having, you know, the word vomit, is the vomit like real or not real?
We know DA's a loser. He's not telling us anything we don't know.
It doesn't have anything to do with him. Like, that's fine. On the way out the door, you want to call a coach a loser? Yeah, have a good time. Whatever. But he's doing it in reference to, I'm injured because of this whole thing.
Yeah, it's like,
and that's the stance he's taken. And that's why he jumped on the Ramchek thing. And it's like, dude, it was unlucky. I think no one did anything to you.
I think his words are less geared towards, I'm injured because, like, I'm blaming the team for being injured, more so than it is the team is trying to spin this as a Mike was a problem and we're fine with letting him go.
Like, are they, though?
I have never gotten that impression.
That's what I think he's doing. I mean,
that's what he thinks. I agree with you there. I think he thinks that, but I don't see anything. I mean, why does the team need to justify letting Mike Thomas go? He hasn't played in 4 years.
I mean, because he's NFL terrible. Career record holder, is all cares? That stuff.
That was 4 years ago. Boy,
he hasn't done anything in 4 years.
I agree. I know he hasn't.
Honestly, he just needs to sign with a new team and just fucking get to work on having a good season.
No, I want him to, too. I want to see him succeed.
I'm honestly tired of hearing him talk and tweet. You know, it's ridiculous.
I absolutely hope he has a complete resurgence and kills it wherever he goes.
Yeah.
My problem with this is he has not been available. And we all know that is the biggest thing. It doesn't have to do with the team. He has not been available. He's been hurt. It's not the rehab. It doesn't have anything to do with the team. It was bad luck. And I think this is probably what the rest of his career is going to look like if we're looking at how it's when this has happened to other players, right?
Yeah.
When it starts to happen like that and it's a lower leg injury, stuff like that, it just keeps coming back.
Do we think he's had the departure that we would have expected? I mean,
no one saw this
coming. You know, like
Four years ago, just no one saw this coming. Two years ago, I saw this coming.
Like the bad taste in both mouths of like him and the team.
Let me ask you this.
You know, like
I saw something
there was no celebrating.
There was
like,
no celebrating.
There goes our best receiver
ever.
If
you're the Saints, and he's putting all this out there right now, you're going to do some big Michael Thomas promo retirement, leaving. No, you're just not going to. You're just going to let it go.
Yeah.
You're going to leave it alone. You're going to rise above it.
But they didn't really do anything celebratory or, you know, when they decided, they decided a while ago that, like, we're not bringing him back, right?
Because he's been running his mouth on social media for the last 5 months, like, since he got hurt.
It's when he's dogging out all your current players.
Yeah,
and
why
coaches,
the hell would they celebrate him?
Like, that's the ending he's asking for, and that's what he's getting, and it's fine. I mean,
he's honestly reaping what he sowed.
It's fine.
It is what it is.
I get it. We would all love
both,
to.
I think both sides could have come to a better medium than where they could. I think the Saints could have done more to say, like, holy shit, we've never had anybody like you. Don't know when we will again. And Mike also could have been like,
They could have done that, but I'll be honest with you, I really don't care at this point that they didn't, because it's like Nick said, the way he's been running his mouth on social media, railing on everybody.
Yeah,
I mean, the reality is, this dude is closer to Tennessee Titan Julio Jones than he is to Atlanta Falcons Julio Jones.
Yeah.
And there's a very real possibility you're just going to see this dude bounce from team to team over the next two or three years before he retires.
Here's the thing. He had a four-year run that is incredible, right? Was it 4 or 5?
Whatever it was
four-year run.
Until he got hurt,
his career
incredible.
Is as mid as it gets as a career. It is not a great career.
Yeah.
It is not in the top. I don't even know if he's in the top 100 of receiving yards in the NFL career.
Well, yeah, because he didn't play enough years to call
but
it a great
that matters,
career.
Okay? Like, he views himself as offensive player of the year Michael Thomas still.
Yeah.
Michael Thomas has not been that guy in 4 years, which is an eternity in football. I have no problem with the Saints just saying, okay, we're moving on. We really tried to run it back one more time. They wanted to see him do well. They wouldn't have brought him back and try to work all that out if they didn't want to see him do well.
Correct.
And so if he feels he needs to like dog everybody on the way at the door, do whatever you got to do, but don't expect a kind send off.
Yeah.
I think
the tide turned when he started spewing during the year, during the season. You know.
But what I'm saying is he did that to Breeze. Then he does it to Carr. Then he does, like, so like I can't put any stock into the things you're saying about his opinion, because if you're going to go after Drew Brees here,
you can go. That's a bold statement, point, yeah.
Dude. And I get it. Drew couldn't throw deep anymore, and that's what it was all related to, and all that. But Drew was balling out those last few years, still, even though we couldn't throw deep. I get it. He's also the guy who got you the NFL record for receptions.
Yeah.
And without him, you have proven nothing. So. Like, he was willing to say negative stuff about that guy. It's I just think that's his thing, right?
Like, I think part of it too, you know, the things he's saying are in the mold of, you know, you can't trust what DA's saying just because it's DA saying it about a player being injured or about whether a guy wants to be here or not, doesn't want to be here, you know. But I think what maybe something that people aren't saying that MT doesn't realize is that people already know that.
Yeah.
Like, people already think that. You know, I don't.
The other thing I'll ask you, Corey, do you think this happens? Of
Saints fans that are like, man, if DA said it, then we got to believe DA on this one. I mean,
do you think all the NFL coaches don't do that? That's the business.
Yeah.
They hide what they need to hide. They put out there what they need to put out there. This is happening in every organization.
I think there's varying degrees of like how transparent coaches are with their own players, but that's something we'll never really know.
Right.
You know, maybe Mike's trying to shine a light on that like, hey, DA is not even transparent with us.
He's not trying to do anything productive.
You know who the most transparent teams are? The teams that are winning. Okay?
Yeah.
When you're winning, you can be honest. You can say whatever you want. Everything's great.
Doesn't matter because shit's working.
Yeah. Every other team in the league that's in the middle to the bottom is just trying to manage PR, trying to do like, so why are we getting upset if they're not showing their cards on everything? I think that's just business in the NFL.
I could care less.
And again, not making excuses for DA. I'm just saying, I don't think he's doing anything that's so outlandish that isn't happening everywhere.
DA is bad at his job. We know this.
Yeah. I'd be more pissed about...
He's also bad at general PR.
You know,
he's
horrible. Say this year is a complete dumpster fire, which it could be, and DA is gone at the end of it, and then the postmortem comes out that like DA would tell player A one thing and then tell player B something totally different. Like, I'd be much more pissed about him not being transparent with his own players than I would be about him not being transparent with us. You know, he owes the fans nothing in the way of transparency except for what he's required to do by league rule about injuries and all that stuff.
Absolutely.
But if it comes to light that, like, he was, you know, had different sets of standards for different players.
Absolutely.
Then that's fucked up.
That's speculation, but you're right. If that's the case, of course, that would be fucked up.
I won't care. Just get him out of here. If he's gone, I don't even want to look back at it. I just want to slam the door on the DA error and be done with it. I don't even want to like rehash it and dissect it, any of that.
Yep. So, anyway.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's to say, like, we said these things all season long, like the locker room's falling apart. And then you just see Cam and DeMario just everything, you know, we're just busting our ass trying to win. And
Honey Badger,
too. And you have leaders. And like, he may be a loser for sure, but do I think the locker room is lost and all this, the stuff that Mike's kind of insinuates? I don't know. It's just, I don't think it's a great team.
It's
talent-wise, I don't. And it doesn't have a coach that is going to elevate a mid-team. Right. We know that, right? I don't know how many of those exist in the world, though. They're very few and far between of a coach that can take a mid-level team and turn them into something better than that or great. You have to have the players to work with, right? Every Super Bowl has had, you know, an incredible team. Except for the recent ones.
Yeah.
The Eagles one being the outlier after watching that Patriots special, like how they won that Super Bowl. Well, benching Malcolm Butler probably won them that Super Bowl. But, you know, it's having that quarterback like we talked about, and we haven't had that since Drew. And we're, as fans, experiencing what it's like not to have that for the first time in a really long time, and we're having a really tough time with it.
Yeah, we are.
We are struggling.
And there's a lot of Saints fans that are new at this.
It's kind of one of those things that where people were like, hey, whether it's sports or anything else, where it's like, hey, you know, like when one day it's going to be pretty rough.
Yeah.
And then like, or like you're
and
the
guess
kid.
What? It's not even like
dude, 9-8 is not rough. Like,
it's not rough. That's
it's not rough.
The last three seasons were miserable. We're absolutely, we're one game under 500.
It's like the so, parents.
This is light work, dude.
It's the parents telling the kid like, hey, you know, when you're under mom and dad's roof right now, but one of these days we're not going to be able to support you. And the kid's like, yeah, yeah, I'll
what
be fine.
What do you think happens with a Carolina
And then the kid
season.
Goes out in the real world and is like, this sucks.
Yeah, yeah exactly. Imagine this city if they were going through a Carolina right season.
Or, like okay. Or even a Pittsburgh.
So
you
like,
know, just there's a lot of teams that are in worse spots than...
Did you say Pittsburgh's in a worse
Pittsburgh
spot than
us? Pittsburgh hasn't lost in a season in like 20 years.
I mean, they made the playoffs, but like in terms they of their QB situation... Like,
but they're
in a way better spot than us. What are you talking about?
They're mid like us, but they haven't experienced... horrible yet, like yeah. Carolina or like the
Mike
Giants.
Mike Tomlin hasn't
like,
had a losing record.
Right. So there, what I'm saying
yeah,
is,
I mean,
for, yeah, so that's, I guess that's rather, a bad analogy, dude.
I'd rather be
they're similar to us.
There was a point
us.
Last
similar
year where
us.
Like their offense was looking even more inept than ours. Yeah. That's kind of what
fine.
I'm
fine. They fired the guy and they went to. And got two quarterback options now and let him fight it out.
They've yeah. redeemed themselves. I guess I was talking about Pittsburgh.
They did a great job.
They did a great job. They looked at Kenny Pickett. They said, he's not the guy. Get out of here.
I was thinking more like during the season last year, how their QB play was looking. But they've redeemed themselves.
They have Mike Tomlin, who's one of the best coaches ever.
We can get all upset and everything because we're not – Super Bowl contenders. We are not Super Bowl contenders.
Right.
We need to accept that and we need to move on. We weren't last year, except Max
we're,
predicted
we're not
it.
This year. Well, it's every year. We're going to do that every year. I'm going to do it this
no,
year.
We're not contenders this year.
I don't think anybody before the 2009 season said this is a Super Bowl contending team.
I did. I say it every year, whether we are or not.
Anyone outside of Max or
let me tell you, I felt we were a Super Bowl contender every year Drew Brees was here after seeing what he did those
in
first couple seasons.
Yeah.
Because
there's a chance.
You knew there was always a chance, and we don't have that anymore. We know we don't have a Super Bowl roster, and you know we know DA isn't going to make them. But
he's not
again,
elevating anybody.
He's not going
to
elevate.
If we have any postseason success that this team happens to come across, will be despite
yeah,
Dennis
best
Allen,
case scenario for this team.
Him.
Like best case scenario is like Tampa winning a game they shouldn't win. They're not any good. They win a playoff game. They get that on the tally. Then they shit the bed and they're out. That's our ceiling right now. Right
yeah.
is to get a lucky draw, get a struggling team in the playoffs, maybe win a game. But that's kind of the ceiling.
Well, we're going to have to get lucky because like those proverbial like calls that, you know, when you see it, oh, that when you see it where someone says, oh, that team won because they just outcoached the other team. Like we're not going to get those kind of coaching wins. You know, we're going to have to win it based on X's and O's by DA being a good defensive coach and by Kubiak doing his thing on the offense.
Yeah. And theoretically,
and just hoping that we never get into those game management situations where it's all on the coach, like where the game completely falls on a head coaching decision here, a head coaching decision there, because we're going to win by DA's defense and then Clint on the offense. That's how it's going to have to work. I mean,
that's fine. That's most teams.
Yeah, I don't know that that's his biggest weakness, but I get what you're saying. The in-game stuff hasn't been atrocious. It's the start of games and the game plan coming out of the gate that's really been the horrible thing to me for Dennis Allen. We come out in these games and we're flat until halftime multiple times this year, and then we adjust a couple things that seemed obvious to everyone watching, and all of a sudden we're playing great. That's, to me, his biggest fault.
Yeah.
But, you know, to your point, he's not going to make it. You don't want to be in a coaching battle if it's down to the coaches.
And when
you know
coaching,
you're at a
like,
disadvantage.
But that, like you said, how many coaches are there that are truly like,
gonna,
if it gets into that?
Not many.
There's not many.
Not many.
And there's not many that have won Super Bowls.
Yeah.
That's right.
But that's the whole point, though. Like, DA is, realistically, he's in the middle of the pack with the coaches. There's a giant tier.
Yeah, it's just like quarterbacks,
guys.
Man.
It's just like quarterbacks. You either have a top five one or you don't.
Right. We're going to have to make up for what he can't do elsewhere.
And something Corey said on the past podcast, which I agree with, I think we were talking about the Kubiak thing, is like, why not hire the young guy you don't know about? Because that's the only way you're going to find the next great coach. They're not available.
Yeah.
You've
got
to guess. And you've got to go try something and hope you hit a home run.
That's what we did with Peyton.
Exactly. That's the prime example.
Yeah. So, you know.
So there we go. We got him. We got Kubiak. We got the next Peyton. He's going to be the coach after DA gets fired, and we're going to win
the
Super Bowl.
He very well could be. That could be the whole plan. And,
hey, bada bing, bada boom.
Maybe it works. But I tell you what, he's still going to need a quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, a top 10 guy. And we went all in on Carr. By the time we're ready for that guy who could get in there, I still stand by, if you gave Carr a perfect situation, he could have top 10 seasons and win. This is nowhere near a perfect situation. It's not going to happen. It's just not. He's going to be that middle 11 to 20 guy that we talked about on the previous episode, unless you give him not weapons that are going to be good. We need A.J. Brown. We need DeAndre Hopp. We need elite level talent around him and an offensive line that keeps him standing for him to elevate the team.
Yeah, let's go ahead and wrap it up with this. I think we forgot to talk about how Mickey Loomis did talk about that this is going to be a multi-year process of getting the cap back in order.
That's right, you didn't speak to that. So, I didn't get a chance to listen to it, but...
That was the biggest takeaway, and you know, that to me says it's going to be this year and next year at the very least, where they are not being big players in free agency. Yeah. They're going to go ahead and not extend these contracts that they got forced into extending, you know, once the cap dipped down during COVID. So... the reality is we're in for probably 2 years of not much fun.
He at least said on the record the thing that everyone presumed was
right. So the way it looks to me is the next quarterback, the one that you take a swing for, it's probably going to be 2027 in that draft.
No, 26.
That's a long way away.
2026, 2027 in that range.
Because Carr's here 24 and 25 now, right? We know that. But, and that's fine. If you're so trying
you're already going into the 24 draft in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
So you got the 25 one. I don't think it's going to be that one. So 26 or 27, that's going to be where you look at. I think we're bad enough to get a QB.
If you think Carr's actually under center for 25, like this year and then next year.
Well, due to the restructure.
Unless you draft a QB, you're going to have to pay for one.
No, you're going to draft one. There's not anybody that you're going to go get. So what I'm saying is I would expect the wheels probably come to fall off around 25 or 26. Well,
let me ask you this.
Is Loomis going to be one, if he knows he's going to have to draft his next QB instead of signing the huge-ass QB contract for an existing guy, is he one to draft to let a guy sit or draft?
No. What I'm saying is I think it's finally going to get to the point where the wheels come off and we get a top five pick.
Let me ask you this. Are we a 2017 draft away from being competitive?
Not this year, because you only got the first. You got 14, 45, and then you don't have anything into the fifth round.
Well, I think it's happening this year. Well, if you hit the first two, and then you hit one of that, and you get three legit impact players out of one draft.
It's the idea of hitting.
Right.
You know, like,
if you hit, I mean, you hit a Lattimore, Kamara, and
Yeah, I hear Ramchek. You, but... Without a third or a fourth, the likelihood of that.
I think
think about it. 2017, we had two first round picks. We had a second. We had two thirds, I think.
Wait, we didn't. Who did we draft in the second that year?
Second was Marcus Williams.
Oh, that's right.
Third was Kamara.
Well, we went up to get Kamara. We didn't have a third, right?
Right, but we went up and got him.
Right.
Anzalone was, I want to say, a fourth.
Fourth. And then Hendrickson was a fifth or a sixth?
A fourth or a fifth.
And then...
Who's the other one?
He didn't do anything for us, the other one.
Yeah.
He's a good player. He left. Defensive tackle.
I guess what I'm getting at is we had draft capital for that draft. We don't have draft capital for this draft. We had a higher pick to begin with, and then we also had the second first-round pick.
Well, the other biggest reason why that draft translated into such immediate success is tiny little thing. They went into a team led by Drew Brees at quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, huge. So no draft, as good as it's going to be, is going to a team with that kind of
built-in. And I'm not saying Super Bowl contender, but if you nail the draft and you get three starters that of a Marcus Williams level, and you know, let's not even say we have
Lattimore.
But like you get a Kamara on offense, doesn't have to be a running back, just that type of impact, and then you nail two defensive starters or an offensive line, like a, you know, you get a Ramchek, maybe it's the 14th pick, whatever. You shore up the line, you get an impact skill player somehow, wherever, and then you get a defensive player that contributes. Does it change your mind? Like, assuming you're not, I'm not saying it's gonna change your mind beforehand, but let's say they are those type of players. Do you see that we compete, not as a Super Bowl contender, but as we keep punting it down the road, meaning not the contracts, but we can still keep competitive?
You keep trying to win now at that point. Yeah. I mean, look, if you hit a draft that, like the one you described, where you get a bunch of Marcus Williams-level guys, I just don't see any way in hell you're doing it when you had the 14th pick, the 45th pick, and then fifth rounders.
Well, 14th and 45th should be starters.
If, they should be, but look at last year. Foskey did the damn thing.
I think what Nick is saying is
No, I know what he's saying.
No matter where they're drafting.
Right, but the likelihood of getting the fifth rounders.
You get like seven starters out of a draft. You know, I don't think it has.
Henderson wasn't a starter right out the gate.
No, he wasn't.
Eventual starters. Yeah. But, you know, my thing for why, even if we
you
hit
need more swings.
A 2017 caliber draft is not, I don't think it would have the same impact because that team had three things that we don't.
Breece Payton.
Hall of Fame QB, top shelf offensive line, and Sean Payton as the coach.
Yeah, and the other thing is,
we don't have those three things. So as good as our draft might be this year, it's not going to have the impact that that draft did because that draft went in to an amazing situation.
The reason I say that, we were coming off, what, 7-9?
But they still had such great bones. It was like...
You had the quarterback.
But the studs were...
A 7-9 for this past team would have been kind of expected. 7-9 under Sean Payton was a gross underachievement.
Yeah. The foundation was rock solid.
7-9 under with that team, that talent was essentially the same as if, like, it felt like we went 3-13.
Yeah, my issue is, like, asking for another 2017 draft is like asking for another Drew Brees to magically appear. It ain't going to happen.
I think it's more likely than a Drew Brees appearing.
That I agree with.
It is more likely, but it's not very likely. You're like asking, you know, to either be attacked by a great white shark in Destin or get struck by lightning. Like,
we've done it a couple times, to be fair. You
2006
know.
And 2017, yeah. But it's, again, I don't see...
We don't have the capital.
I don't see it either because it's very hard to do. I'm saying if it happened.
Under one out of a million chance it happened, then yes, that would change my opinion of how we should attack the next couple of years.
Because you could roll right out of this thing if you nail a draft. I think you could literally roll right out of it because we'll be out of the cap hell in 2 years.
But my issue is how they've drafted in the last 3 or 4 years overall, with high picks.
You can roll out of
it. Missing. And then secondly, you know, you just don't have that many draft picks or lottery tickets. Don't have that many lottery tickets.
The only way we get back to being a Super Bowl contender, which is what we all agree we want to be, is with a different head coach and a new quarter. Like, not saying Derek Carr can't get us into playoffs. If he's playing at his
best. I don't even think you need a different head coach to get a Super Bowl contender. You would have to nail the QB.
I mean, I hear what you're saying, but like everyone praised the Eagles coach last year, and this year they were ready to fire him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm just saying. If you have the team, I'd rather a mid coach and a badass team than I would an awesome coach with a mid team. That's what I'm saying. If you can get both, fantastic. It's just impossible.
It's not about what level of quality Dennis Allen falls on. I just don't see him leading a team to it. I just don't.
But if prime Drew Brees walked in like he did in 2006, I could easily see DA getting to a Super Bowl.
What were our records in seven and eight?
Yeah, I mean,
you have to have the QB, and we don't have the QB.
No, what I'm saying, what was our record in 2007, 2008? Wasn't great.
7-9.
Right. And we won a Super Bowl the next year. No one said Peyton was going to be the guy to lead us to the Super Bowl next year. That just wasn't a narrative.
That team was stacked, though.
Oh, it was loaded. And that draft became of age. They were all in their mid-20s from the 06 draft. They were all in their prime at the same time.
But I don't think you could compare that 08 Peyton to this current Dennis Allen. Maybe not.
But Peyton had a Hall of Fame QB and Allen doesn't. So I'm not going to say I can't. I agree with you 100%. Peyton is obviously way better than Dennis Allen.
Well, they both just...
But you have to at least put circumstances into context. If you have Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Mahomes... Look at Reed's career with Mahomes and Reed's career, which was awesome without him, look at the difference. It makes a huge difference.
You don't want to fall into the trap of being Mickey Loomis with the like Chuck Knoll, Landry, Belichick in comparison to Dennis Allen. It doesn't matter.
Correct. You should not do that.
We gave him so much shit about that because it doesn't matter who you put around either.
What Nick is saying is if you fall ass backwards into a Drew Brees like we did in 2006, DA at that point, I mean, any coach is going to look good.
Right, that's not the same situation is
good,
what I'm saying.
I don't.
You have to at least acknowledge that.
You're a Super Bowl contender if you had that quarterback.
A Drew Brees in year one versus Andy Dalton. Those are two different situations. I'm not saying anything about either coach. I'm just saying that is a vastly different situation.
Yeah.
And we will never know if DA would have done more with it. I happen to think he wouldn't. I know you two don't think he would have done
it. Plenty of NFL teams have had way... I mean, we've done it. where like they have all the talent in the world and the team doesn't have the right culture to put it together. They just can't play consistent.
But do they have the
QB? They don't work hard.
Or these teams have the QB.
We've had Drew Brees and gone 7-9.
I just watched. You know? Did y'all watch the Patriots thing? The new documentary. The season where Tom Brady did not talk to Belichick the entire season. They won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They did not say a word to each other the entire season. If you have the dude, you have a chance.
Exactly. That's Brees, all I'm saying. Brees dragged the worst statistical defense in NFL history to 7-9. I feel like with a pretty solid DA defense, Brees would drag that team to 11-6 or 12-5 with no problem.
It's just different because just Max different. Is right. Why did Peyton face zero criticism for putting out literally the worst defense in the history of the NFL still stands today? There was very little criticism for that. And
well, I think it was obvious the defense was the problem. I mean, the offense was...
But he never did anything. Like, as a head coach, when the offense fails, were we not dogging Dennis Allen?
If Brees would have gotten hurt that year, that team would have lost
lost every game.
Every game.
But, like, we're not putting Sean Payton and Dennis Allen next to each other and saying these guys are in any way comparable as leaders.
I'm not worried about leaders. I'm worried about the quarterback. If you put Drew Brees in his prime next to either one of them, that's a playoff team.
I want you to show me the coach who took the team that didn't have one of those guys for an extended period of time and won with nothing in the last two decades in the new NFL where it's been all quarterback driven.
Yeah, no, nobody
wins. There's flashes in the pan. There's
nothing, but
I mean, at quarterback, I'm just saying quarterback, not the team. Like, just they just don't win.
Yeah, I mean, the outlier is the Eagles, like we've already mentioned. Right.
But Wentz, as we said, was having an MVP caliber season.
Like,
before he got hurt.
What Super Bowl winning coach would you even like allow DA to sniff his jock? You know, like who's
Doug Peterson, in my opinion.
Okay, besides the outlier that we said, you know, like who's.
You give him prime Drew Brees.
I still don't.
Okay, let me ask you this. This team with Drew Brees, with Dennis Allen, doesn't win another game. They're not better than 9-8 with Drew Brees.
No, but Drew Brees, they're better than 9-8. But whether or not, if we're talking about DA as the future being a Super Bowl contender.
We all agree that we don't think he's that.
Yeah,
we don't. But all I'm saying is.
He could make a playoff, yeah.
If Brees. Sean,
you're missing
Payton,
the point. If a quarterback comes in that is like a Brees, I don't care if it's 2006 Brees
then you can
or
win,
2019 Brees.
Yeah, you can win
anyone,
the division.
They cover up a
that
lot.
That is a Super Bowl contending team with DA. If Brees from any period from 06 to which is last year, 2020, anywhere from between 06 and 2020, if that Brees walks onto the team last year, that team is a Super Bowl contender and goes to
without
the playoffs.
Without a doubt.
That's what we're saying.
Without a doubt.
Like, not even in question. With that soft division we just had.
Yeah. And to your credit.
Yeah,
like,
last year.
It would have nothing to do with DA whatsoever.
Exactly. We're not giving
nothing.
DA any credit. We're saying just having Brees on that team.
Would be enough to win despite any shortcomings at head coach.
Well, it's not in spite. It's because,
of course it is.
No, because it's because the defense was solid. The defense was fine.
No.
If Brees can drag the worst defense in NFL history to a 7-win season, he can take a top 10 defense and make that a Super Bowl contender. It's
despite DA as a head coach, as a coordinator.
Brees couldn't throw deep, and we didn't go to the Super Bowl because of the no call and Jared Cook.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Marcus Williams.
He couldn't even throw deep. Yeah, that's true. Now, that wasn't.
We weren't as good
a team as we were the other two.
The no call. Absolutely directly held us out of
the 100%. We were in the Super Bowl, and you know,
you could transpose the Jared Cook year.
One more game at home, probably.
What did we say for 15 years of the Brees era? Just give him a competent defense.
Just give him a 15. Just give him 15.
And the only thing
this goes back to you saying, and agreeing with you, we absolutely failed.
The only thing keeping me from annoyingly arguing more with you is the fact that I've said the exact same thing. Okay, so. If I'm listening to my own advice, and I have said the same thing, that if Brees just had a
my only point is
top half defense.
No, look,
if Brees had a top half defense,
that's it.
Then no one could have stopped us.
He'd have been in four Super Bowls. Maybe
where did our defense finish last year?
I think 12 or 13.
There you go.
That would have been enough.
We always said just get us into the top half.
Yeah, he was
of the
playing.
League.
And
like,
the year before they were fifth.
Even,
let's keep that
even
in
the
mind.
Super Bowl year, the overall ranking. wasn't good. It was just that we had the crazy turnovers.
We all don't like DA. None of us think DA is a Super Bowl winning coach. But the reality is, if you give any coach, any decent coach,
Drew Brees in a top half defense. Yeah.
Yeah. And look, the one thing DA has done has had a top half defense for the last like 6 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And a top 10 defense for four of them. He's done that job well. It's the head coaching job he doesn't do well. The leadership job, like Corey said, the PR. He's not that leadership type of person.
None of that matters if you have Brees, though.
I agree.
But, all right, so we'll go ahead and wrap this episode up. It went a little longer than we expected, but always fun conversation. So, yeah, we'll go ahead and wrap this one up, and we'll catch you guys on the next episode. Thanks for listening.
Boom.